Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Today we go behind the headlines. The Contemporary Art Museum is under fire for a controversial exhibit featuring the work of New York artist Kelly Walker. It's titled Direct Drive. A lot of people, especially people of color, are upset because they feel the artist defaced images of black activists and celebrities by covering portions of them with toothpaste and chocolate. The exhibit remains, despite demands it be removed, but it's now been placed behind a wall. There are different views on the exhibit and how it's being handled, and there are other components to the controversy, not the least of which involves censorship and the role of art in discussion of or depiction of controversial issues. Joining me in studio to talk about all of it are St. Louis Public Radio Diversity Fellow reporter Jenny Simone, and arts and culture reporter Willis Ryder Arnold, who has been covering the story. Thanks so much for being with us. I know it's been a busy week for you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Willis, let me begin with you. Where are we in this story right now?
So at this point, the most recent events are that CAM has issued a sort of apology, as has the lead curator, Jeffrey Uslip. They basically said that they're sorry that people were offended, and they were going to try and make it so that if you come to visit the museum, you don't have to encounter the works that people have had trouble with.
Didn't they see this coming?
It appears that they kind of saw it coming, but they really didn't present the work with the acknowledgement that it could be perceived problematically. Mm-hmm.
Jenny, let me turn to you. You've been down there. You've covered the story for a while now. Tell us about the exhibit. What does it show? What is it with these paintings that has people so upset?
Sure. I don't actually think that it's the art. I mean, the artwork is upsetting to the community, but I do think that so much of the problem that local artists and people of color are having with it is the museum's response. But those paintings are, for example, one of them is a almost floor-to-ceiling portrait of Trina, the rapper and model, with screen prints of toothpaste on it. And a lot of that, or some problems that people have mentioned, is it looks like semen, or, you know, there's not a lot of discussion about why it's problematic instead of being like, oh, yeah, it's just like edgy artwork. There's no discussion about what's behind the use of those images. Or with the civil rights images from Birmingham, Alabama, there's smeared chocolate and the civil rights activists are totally obscured almost. And you can see some police officers and things like that. But
yeah, the Birmingham image is, I understand it, is an iconic one. It is the dogs attacking the civil rights protesters, correct?
Yeah, no, definitely. And it was also, there's an Andy Warhol, it's called Race Riot, one of his pieces. And a lot of people talk about Kelly Walker in relation to Andy Warhol's piece. And a lot of artists here have said, you know, they're both white artists who have been using black images and exploiting them and making money off of them without having to answer why they use those images.
Well, you've had an occasion to talk to and listen to people who have been complaining about this. What essentially are they saying? I know you have one person in particular who was very outspoken during an artist's presentation as the exhibit opened.
Right. So when the exhibit opened, I attended Kelly Walker's walkthrough. And then there was a conversation afterwards where a lot of the community came out. I think that was the flashpoint for when everyone was like, this is a very problematic exhibit. And that was when Khalil Irving and Damon Davis went and asked questions to him. And I have a clip from the Critical Conversations panel that happened after the exhibit and after, you know, the community sort of came out and called for a boycott. And Khalil Irving was on a panel about art in the black body that was at CAM the week that it opened.
Right.
For someone to say that Kelly Walker's the one artist that's working through history, race, identity, and evolving, rotating implications pisses me off. I'm sorry, but Kelly Walker is not the only one.
Well, there we go. Clearly he was aggravated.
Yeah, and Khalil's talking about Jeffrey Uslip, the curator, when I interviewed him during the installation, said Kelly Walker is the one artist who is looking at the evolving, rotating implications of race and identity in the U.S., or something that's a paraphrase. Don't quote me on that. Mm. But I think that there was a lot of hurt feelings in the community that you could say that, especially when you have local artists who are doing a lot of that work here and sure. throughout the art world.
Willis, what can you tell us about the artist himself?
Well, the artist was originally from Georgia, and he's worked with these images for a long time. A lot of the images that people actually have taken issue with are from much earlier in the career, possibly up to 10 years ago, and have been shown in a number of museums and galleries and other institutions. I think that, again, some of the criticism was really aimed at the idea that that work was being brought here to St. Louis at this time and shown in this context, and that highlights a lot of kind of like a historical problem of representation in the institutions.
Clearly, there are critics, and that needless to say. What about supporters of this art?
I think that a lot of the support that's come specifically for the art is kind of aimed at the idea that to remove the art or to challenge it in some of the ways that it's been challenged would be tantamount to censorship. And there's kind of a debate that's going on about what exactly would be censorship relating to these images and whether, you know, a community saying that they're not interested in viewing it is really a version of censorship or whether removing the images themselves is kind of just okay.
Well, I guess this brings us to the question then, what is art supposed to do? I mean, over the centuries, art has often been used to comment on social issues, if you will, or issues of the day.
And a lot of the questions I think at hand are related to authorship, questions of who's making the art and who's profiting off the art. Some people have seriously taken issue, as Jenny mentioned earlier, with the idea that he is a white man who is making money off these images and that none of that is going back into the communities that he's pulling images from.
Do we have, Jenny, any idea of what the artist was trying to say with what he has done to these images?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's another big point about why this has become such a controversy is I do think that art is supposed to facilitate conversation, right? If Cam mm-hmm. had come out and said, we are here to start this dialogue, and if the artist talk had been allowed to go on and people were allowed to actually engage with Kelly Walker a little bit more, I think it would have been received more positively. But we have a clip from Kelly Walker's response. When I interviewed him at the installation asking about the critiques, because this isn't the first time Kelly Walker has received this critique of his work. Yeah. And so I asked him about it. And like most things, you have to realize Kelly Walker is not a big public speaker. Like he just doesn't, it's clear that he's not comfortable speaking on most things just when you meet him. So yeah, if you want to hear the piece.
Let's do.
The race issue? I think I deal with the body more so than race, and the body both being the mechanical or the machine, like the computer or the record player, as well as the body being an organic material-based being.
Is it just me, or what did he say? I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Kelly Walker, especially when I interviewed him before everything, you know, before the public critique, before, you know, the museum was called on to address these issues, Kelly Walker, you know, I think he thinks a lot about color schemes and different types of mechanical bodies and history and the Industrial Revolution, but he seemed really surprised when I kept pushing on this, on the race issue, quote, as he just said. And I think for him, he's never maybe had to face this sort of critique so strongly and so head on, because people were in the audience during his audience talk saying, what, like, why are you using these images? And he didn't have an eloquent answer, either not in our interview and not during the artist talk.
And clearly the audience was very disappointed in him for that very reason.
Right. Right. And I think that it's maybe, I don't know, I understand the tension with Jeffrey, you know, as a curator trying to make sure that your artist is comfortable and having, you know, space to engage meaningfully with your public. But if they're floundering, what do you do? I don't know.
Willis, aside from his desire to, most artists desire to make money, do you have any sense of what he was trying to say with this particular art?
I think that Kelly Walker is really involved in the idea of process. A lot of his work is kind of referencing work that's come before. He has a series of images where, like, he put out an image, it was then, like, published. He then took that published image, remade art out of that, and then that was published again. And he's kind of gone through cycles of that, where the art is referencing art that's come before, and there's a kind of like process of the public attention facing artwork that he's really intrigued by and seems to want to be a part of his work. I think where a lot of the criticism comes in is that you can't just do that outside of the context of current events and one's own personal identity.
We have to take a break now, but coming back, we're going to listen to a couple, and you can tell us who they are now and what we can expect from a local couple who take opposite sides to this discussion.
Sure. So Shanti Parikh is a professor at Washington University, and her husband, Jason Williams, is a CAM board member. And when I first encountered them, they each got up at the critical conversation that was held at CAM and expressed very opposing viewpoints of whether the art should be supported and whether it should stay up on the walls or whether it should be taken down. And so we thought they'd be interesting people to talk about because they have personal stake in it as well. And so we just asked them to come in and discuss it.
So we'll come back and have that discussion in just a moment. Talking with Willis Ryder Arnold and Jenny Simone of our staff here at St. Louis Public Radio covering arts and culture. We're talking about the exhibit at the Contemporary Art Museum, which has caused so much controversy in recent days. Back to continue this conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back as we continue our conversation with Jenny Simone and Willis Ryder Arnold. We're talking about the controversial exhibit at the Contemporary Art Museum here at Grand Center. Before we move on to the clip, the aforementioned clip, is there anything else either of you guys want to say about where we are in this whole process now before we do that?
I personally find it really interesting that this is a very public conversation that people are also having at home, like around the dinner table. It's not something that's just relegated to people that are fascinated by art or really interested in the intricacies of the art world. People are having this conversation who are approaching it from a lot of different angles.
And the time at which it comes is part of the story as well. Anything, Jenny, before we move on?
Yeah, to piggyback on that, I think that this is one of those moments where we realize the things that happen in the art world touch our day-to-day lives. It's not just in a vacuum. So yes, it's great that we're having these conversations, but also recognizing that you can't just make art and not have good reasons for producing it. You need to engage with the communities that you're bringing it to. So I'm glad it's happening.
And the fact that it inspires discussion is a very, very good thing. Okay, back to you, Willis. Set up what we're about to hear.
So basically, we sat down as part of Cut and Paste, St. Louis Public Radio's Arts and Culture podcast, with Jason Wilson and Shanti Parikh, and they just start talking about like how they talk about this work.
You and Nancy Fowler sat down for this.
Exactly.
Okay. Here we go.
What has this discussion looked like in your home? Have there been disagreements? And how did you handle that?
So my nieces and nephews were at the table one night listening to Shanti and I talk about this. And I got kind of upset. I tend to raise my voice a little bit sometimes.
And our 6 and 8-year-old were there.
Yeah, they were there. Yeah. So my 6 and 8-year-old are there. And by the way, they know about everything. So they know all about racism.
That a black woman's body is large on the wall with toothpaste on it. And even they were like, well, what is that?
Yeah, but they're aware of all these issues that affect our community. And Shanti and I don't guard them or shield them from any of these types of things. Because they've been faced with it at their schools where they've been called a name because of their color.
But to the question, we...
Yeah, but to the question, yeah, the point is that yeah, we discussed it and it was a heated debate. He did debate because they all had a perspective.
Jason was of the mindset that it shouldn't come down. And I was of the mindset you can't say that until you work the issue out. You have to sit down and have a conversation about how can we make this right? How can we, what are the grievances? What is the hurt? So I did not think that the idea of it, about it staying up should have been a foregone conclusion. I thought as any institution that is there for the community and whose mission is to promote inclusivity and is supposed to promote a progressive way of thinking about the world and is supposed to advance our community, if that's the goal. If the goal is only to show art, that's one thing. But that's not what I understand the goal of the Contemporary Art Museum. If it's their goal to do that, I don't think any decision should be articulated until a full discussion is had, and until you maybe even have an advisory board, until you bring people onto the table and say, well, how can we make this better?
And Jason, what was your reaction and your feelings about the work when you first encountered it?
When I saw them, I thought this was going to be kind of cool based on what's been explained to me with the intent, right? The whitewashing of the black body, the whitewashing of history, and who controls that narrative, which is right up my alley since I always talk about controlling the narrative, right? So for me, I thought it was great, and I was eager to, have the community have this conversation about racism and institutional racism and breaking barriers and, how people perceive themselves as African Americans and how white people perceive African Americans, and just having that dialogue about what does it look like and how does this artwork affect your thought process. So I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty interesting.
So one of the things that I'm curious about is, we're asking you a lot about how you first became aware of what's going on. Could you just tell us also about the minute that you learned about the kind of controversial moment that was the artist being approached about what his intention was with this work?
My thought was, well, this guy, he'll be well prepared because this is not the first time he's shown this work, and I trust that Jeffrey's going to prepare him, for what's going on. And I know he was going to do that. I know he did that. And then but when I found out that he did a horrible job, then I was pissed off because I was like, you let us down as people, as an institution, you let us down because, we're in this community where you can leave and go home. And you might get some publicity from this. But we have to stand here and have to deal with this, right? And have to, work from there to get back in the good graces of the people.
Just so we're clear, basically what happened was during the initial artist talk, the presentation at CAM, the artist was confronted by Damon Davis, Khalil Irving, and a couple other local artists about the work who wanted him to explain basically his relationship to the work and the black body.
Exactly.
Shanti, you said you started out with skepticism but were willing to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt for the sake of art. At what point did it turn for you? Was it at that event, artist talk, or before then?
Right. I did not attend the artist talk. Jason and I went to the opening. I read the captions. And then when we went home that evening, I did some research to see what is his commentary about his art. And so I went online and I looked at interviews. I looked at other kind of critiques of his work. And in nowhere did I see an explanation of what he had hoped the intention was. And I know the gallery that represents him, Paula Cooper Gallery, has since put out a statement, and their statement is the role of the artist, it has been said, is to ask questions, not to answer them. Kelly Walker's art centers on the use and reuse of images. And I think in a case where you are taking images from a community that has been historically marginalized, and its use of the body, the use of the black body, has been used to profit by other people and trafficked by other people. I think in today's climate, you have to account for why you yourself are benefiting trafficking off of the uses and abuses of the black body. The ones that were the black body that are controversial are the largest ones. They are very striking. They have an ominous presence in the museum. And not to be able to speak to why black women's bodies, why these particular issues, why the civil rights photographs that have such a strong symbol in the black community, why can't you tell us why you were doing that? And just to leave it as, well, that's an artist's license, I think might not be the most ethical way to do things. So I think at that point is when I thought we do need to listen to what black artists in the community are saying and how they would have represented it if it's their own work.
Okay. And as we know, some of those black artists and arts professionals work at the Contemporary. And indeed, they put out a letter that called for the removal of those pieces and a boycott and also the removal of curator Jeffrey Uslip. So what was your stance, Shanti? Do you agree with those things? Did you agree it should be removed?
I think it should be a conversation. I don't know if I'm in a position to decide whether or not they're removed. I know that the position in the art world is once you start removing art, other artists won't want to share it because art is supposed to provoke controversy. I'm of the mind that if a museum does decide to remove something, they are making a bold statement. And if they are afraid that it is going to mean that other artists don't show there, then I think that's a risk they have to take. Now, I'm not saying I think they definitely should remove them, but I think that they that should not be a conversation that is easily foreclosed. I think that they should sit down with the community, with people who know art and who are engaged in this dialogue, and say, how can we make this an exhibition that is palpable, and what can we do? And there needs to be some institutional change in the art world.
Would you say they made a mistake in showing this?
I think not about showing it, but in about how it was packaged. I think at any point, a bolder statement could have been made. A bolder statement about what this represents in today's day and age. A statement about how this particular controversy is wrapped up in larger controversies about cultural institutions and who gets shown in cultural institutions. If this art were done by a different person, would it have gained as much traction?
Meaning what kind of different person?
If it were made by an African-American person, would it have gained as much traction? I don't know. Who's shown in particular museums is always an interesting issue. I do think it was a missed opportunity for the cultural institutions to actually make a statement about the use of black bodies and the hurt that using black bodies, trafficking in black bodies, profiting from black bodies. We have to answer for that, and somebody has to be held accountable for being able to say what the intention is.
And Jason, when I first heard you speak publicly about this, it was at the Critical Mass conversation, which was held at CAM and was about basically art in the black body and became specifically about this work. And you didn't express an exactly similar response that Shanti just gave. I'm curious about what your response was then and whether or not that has shifted over time.
Yeah, it hasn't shifted at all. My thoughts then were that the art is going to, I think it needs to stay up. That was my perspective. That was my opinion. And I think it needs to stay up now still. And we need to have this conversation. I don't want people dancing around these ideas and these issues. And I also don't want there to be a tit for tat also when an African-American artist does something that someone, there's a group in a certain ethnic group or a certain community that doesn't like what was put on the wall. And then all of a sudden that person's being boycotted just for the tit for tat and missing the point. So I want there to be, just a fair and balanced approach to this process. Leave it up. Let's have this conversation. And CAM is going to do everything they need to do to make sure that it's people understand their intent going forward, and that's where I think Shanti and I differ. I'm more stronger in an opinion about this situation. It's not necessarily about as a board member the fiduciary duties of my based on what needs to go on. It's also just about I think people need to do a good job of just communicating. Because you can't, you can't bring like a certain energy to a situation that's not called for. And this is one of those situations where someone didn't die, somebody wasn't murdered, but we're having this conversation. It was large, and to listen to Khalil, Lyndon, and the rest of the folks up there talking about how they felt, the passion. I mean, I was like, I'm in 100% agreement with you guys. I get it. Let's continue chatting about it. But that's just how I am. I feel like in order to get in control of the narrative, you got to make some stuff happen. So that's just kind of how I felt about the situation.
One of the things this points to for me is it depends who launches a claim that something's offensive. So for any community institution, if the right constituency who has power, who has money, is offended, something will be changed. And to me, as part of a community that is marginalized and our voices aren't heard and demands that we make are sometimes just washed over with, oh, sorry, we didn't mean that, I think this is a critical moment that reflects how that is happening. We weren't the right community to actually push for change in this exhibition. I haven't seen a bold statement come out that acknowledges exactly what it is that Black artists and the Black art community was offended about by this. It's more just they were angry. They were, it wasn't specifying what exactly the claims are. And what ends up happening then is it just seems like a group of community members who were upset, as opposed to an institution that has a very powerful role in our community being able to articulate as an entity what some of those precise offenses were, so that it can be digested by the community that might not understand it or that might not thought about it.
I do want to say that that night, the claims that we're talking about, Shanti, that you just spoke of, the specifics, were stated that night. And so I can't.
But by the panelists.
Right, by the panelists, right.
Not by Cam or by Paula Cooper.
Right. But it was what we're talking about. The panelists are the ones that needed to state the claim by being specific about what it is that we're disappointed about. And so I don't speak for those folks, although I'm sure they might be in agreement with what I'm going to say. But it is about how Black artists don't have the wall space in the museums. And they're just starting to come to this, right? There's a lot of Black artists, like Norman Lewis, for example, who made it in after he passed. But before that, they were all doing phenomenal artwork, but there was no value on the art because of who deems what great art is. They were actually letting people know that night that, why does he get to talk about the Black body and the issues facing African Americans and Black folks around the world? Why does he get to have his work on the wall and it be about my struggle? And that's what it's about. And that's the conversation that needs to happen. But I don't think someone needs to answer for it. But it does put Cam, anybody's slam, anybody, major institutions on alert that they're cognizant about what's going on. We're not letting stuff slide anymore, and we want to make sure we're represented fairly and given the right opportunities, especially in this climate. So I think a lot of my board members, I think the institution itself, I think we're all for example, Dee and Victoria and Lyndon being upset, definitely. We're all for that. Because that's what makes the institution stronger. One of my phrases I always use with my kids is steel sharpens steel, and that made us strong. It made the community strong. Damon Davis is making the community strong, and we need that.
It will be interesting to see what happens after this. Is this going to be a moment for cultural and arts institutions in St. Louis to open the door for more for artists who aren't as boldly represented? Is there going to be some real institutional change in our cultural institutions? What role are cultural institutions going to play in the climate of racial tension, of racial inequality in St. Louis, but also nationally? What sort of bold step? Is it going to just be we can keep putting art up and not using it for art activism or artivism, or is it just going to be we're going to be neutral spaces? And I think what I'm hearing from the Black arts community is that they would like a bolder stand, and I think that's fair. I think it is a day and age where these cultural institutions cannot remain neutral.
And to that end, one of the questions that's been raised is questions of accountability, and that means that people have actually responded to Cam's kind of most recent and formal statement saying that they're not going to take down the work. Some of that has been rejected by people in the arts community as not enough. I'm curious what either of you thinks about that rejection.
I mean, they're entitled to reject it. I understand that. I mean, you can't make everybody happy. Because if you take it down, there are going to be people that are going to be disappointed who are African-American, who also believe in what the folks who are rejecting it believe also. The fact that they did something about it, that they listened to this, and in a major institution they made some kind of change, which is, I think that's a bold step. And that's not the end, but it's definitely a bold step because it lets you know that they're listening. And then I think CAM is going to do an excellent job going forward of explaining their position on why, what, and, you know, why this happened, what we need to do going forward to make it better so this doesn't happen again.
I'm very impressed that they are taking this situation seriously. Like any institution, they're accountable to their donors and to their base, but it's an opportunity for them to have made a bold statement about the state of racial tensions in St. Louis.
Do you think their accommodations are satisfactory?
Good question. I think it's satisfactory, but I think it's also a dicey game. But I think what we did this time warrants that type of warning. It warrants a reaction from us to show the world, to show the community that, yeah, we're listening to what's going on. Taking it down could have been better, maybe? I don't know. But I just think that this was a good step in the right direction. I think people are listening.
The warning is actually very interesting because, as we all know, the warning is going to mean that people are more interested. So it's actually going to increase the stakes of the artist and the art and the value and things like that. So in some ways, it's going to serve the viewership in the sense that it's going to bring more people in. It's probably, from what my read is of that evening, it's probably not enough in terms of what the African-American artists in the community were asking for. In that sense, if I'm using that as a gauge, it doesn't go far enough. It doesn't go far enough in terms of how are you going to package this so that it is more palpable, so that it is doing its political role in questioning the use of the black body.
Ultimately, do you think that this exhibition and the controversy surrounding it will ultimately be good for St. Louis, bad for St. Louis?
No, I think the controversy will be good for St. Louis. I think any type of contentious situation where people have to talk about stuff and they're not in agreement, they have to find a way to communicate, find some common ground. I think it's always great.
And here is where we agree. I also think that the controversy surrounding this in the long term will have some positive aspects to it. I think it has put, for a lay audience, people who are not artists, people who go to museums, I think it will put on their radar the idea of subject matter and authorship, the idea of representations of marginalized bodies, and how that itself is a political commentary in ways that maybe they hadn't thought of before. I think the Contemporary Art Museum is going to emerge as a leader in this when they begin to take bolder stands and when they begin to reach out to the community. I think the black art community, we all now know that they have a very visible presence and extremely powerful messages, and that art can help our community move forward. I think we have a long way to go to change any large institution in the United States and in St. Louis to make them more inclusive, to make sure each player in the community gets equal representation and they're valued the same. So in the long run, I think I'm very impressed with the black arts community and how they're rallying around and educating all of us. And I think they're putting us all to the challenge to think more critically about this.
So you were just listening to Shanti Parikh, a Washington University professor, and her husband, Jason Wilson, who is a Contemporary Art Museum board member. They were discussing the current controversy that is surrounding the work that's up at CAM right now, and it is the artist Kelly Walker's show, Direct Drive, that has kind of come under fire.
And that's Willis Ryder Arnold, the arts and culture reporter, who was with me in studio. I'm Don Marsh, and Jenny Simone also with us. We'll wrap this thing up. You know, I can't think of a better couple than Jason and Shanti that we just heard dealing with this? I mean, they're so measured, and even though they come from different angles, you know, they approach it so intelligently.
And it was really interesting because when I first heard them, Jason got up at this conversation that was happening about the work and really came from a specific position of believing that the art was driving a conversation that needed to be had. And then Shanti got up and said, kind of like, I'm with him and I have a totally different opinion. And they each expressed it really clearly and articulately and then came into the studio and you could hear the way that their perspectives had even evolved a week later and become more nuanced.
All right, the full interview with the two of them is now online, is it not? The Cut and Paste podcast is there. Okay. Jenny, what do you think? Should people go and see this exhibit?
Oh, man. I think that you should go see it if you're curious about everything. But I do think it is to see images like that being used of people of color can be super hurtful. And just maybe that is part of the controversy that Cam didn't say that outright. This could be hard to see.
Is the wall a good idea or a bad idea, do you think?
I think it probably is a better alternative than just having it out, especially, and at the Critical Conversations talk, the panelists and a lot of the people in the audience brought up, CAM is frequented by a lot of students, and there's a lot of young people who go there. And to have, not to say that, we have to shield the eyes of the children, but I do think that to have the option is much better than to just, have it out.
What do you think, Willis?
I think that it's a complex, it's a complicated approach kind of no matter what they do at this circumstance. I think that having it something that you can choose to see is always good because people should be allowed their agency. And I don't think that something like that is tantamount to censorship.
That's a good place to leave it, I think. I want to thank you both, Jenny Simone, for being with us. Thank you for being with us, Willis Ryder Arnold. Interesting subject, and it's going to be on display, I think, until December. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Plenty more conversation coming, I'm sure. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.